Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I'm here for the leftover Halloween candy. Where's the stale candy corn?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
All right. Get the right microphone turned up there. All right, here we go. Craig. Oh, I think Craig left permanently.
No, no. You're supposed to introduce me.
Oh, you wanted to wait for the introduction. Oh, I get it.
Not see, we're still.
This is another first. We're trying a new introduction here. Yeah. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you're a first-time offender, thank you for joining us. If you're a repeat offender, welcome back. We've kept your cell warm for you. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Oh, wait. Here you go. There. How's that? That's what I was looking for.
There we go. We didn't rehearse that at all. You can tell.
Like a well-oiled machine right here.
Yeah. No, almost 500 shows, and we're still experimenting and tweaking. Yeah. This is kind of like when Futurama left Fox and ended up on Comedy Central, or there are lots of other shows that moved around. Mr. Science Theater moved around as well. Speaking of Grant Pachoco, who was watching us a minute ago.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Everything's going pretty good. Seems like every time we take a week or two off, it always feels like we haven't podcasted in like 8 years.
We have to go back to podcast school and get retrained.
Yeah, my cert's about to run out.
Oh, that's too close to work, Craig. Hey, quick introduction. We've got a couple of episodes coming up. In this episode, we've got a big arcade game. I mean, this is the biggest arcade game ever. What would
you
think?
A big one?
Maybe. We've got some bad air, and how about a cup of Joe? But before we get into that, we want to do the listener feedback.
Yeah. Bring it in.
Letters.
Oh, we got letters.
Letters.
All kinds of letters.
Mailman.
Let's do it like Bob Dylan.
No letters. I love no letters. Yeah. I want to God today. Oh, boy. Mailman, we got the mail for you today.
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, it was just like Bob Dylan.
You think maybe I'll get a Nobel Prize now? Is there a Nobel Prize for podcasting?
There should be.
If there isn't, there should be. You are right. Hey, we got feedback from, this is a couple of weeks ago. Like Craig said, we haven't podcasted in a couple of weeks. So we are getting feedback from all genres and epochs and millennia. We have one from Stan Seeler, who is the docent who took us through the Computer History Museum back in 2007.
Right.
And I noted that on October 8th, the date, at least in the U.S., was 10-8-16. And I went, well, that's a decimal and an octal and a 16. So would that be decimal octal hex day? Make a nice hashtag, I think. Right? And he said, no.
Right.
Decimal octal hex would be DOH. He said, don't.
That's a new technical term. You just coined a new term.
Hashtag don't. And no one will know. That'll be our secret geek handshake.
Yeah.
Again, if you're not...
They're gonna inter that into the Computer History Museum now.
If you're not into numerology or computers, that probably is going to go right over your head. Decimal base 10, octal is base 8, and hex is, short for hexadecimal base, 16. So, Craig, explain to our dear listener what you get after you count 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What are the next digits? How do you get to 16?
How do you get to 16?
Yeah.
Practice.
Ah, very funny.
We start hitting up letters.
Letters A, B, C, D, E, F. And that's where it gets really fun for the computer people is F is actually 15. but it's 1111 in binary. Yes.
Music is like that too. You only go through F.
Yeah, but that just no, you don't. There's a G.
Oh, is there? Oh, that's right.
Wow, no, Mr. Musical talent here. You know what I forgot to put in here? I forgot to put our one and only voicemail from Jack Jaffe in the player. So hold on. We are getting that as we speak. Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, I can play Google Music.
Here we go. We got it.
From time to time, iTunes.
We got it.
Okay, guys. You're all sitting around saying how great it is to move to a zero emissions vehicles in Europe. Not so fast. There's a problem. Basically, your zero emission vehicle isn't not running on gasoline. What it's running on, if you're in the United States, it's running on coal. See, because you have to plug it into a wall, which is getting its power from a coal power plant. Now, if you're over in Europe, it's a possibility of coal, natural gas, or more likely nuclear power.
I have solar.
So you're realistically, your zero emission vehicle is emitting all the radioactiveness that a power plant would run, because that's what you're actually running your car. Electricity doesn't come from nowhere. Also, they have to globetrot all over the planet to get all the resources and precious rare earths in order to build the batteries for those things, which has its own carbon footprint. So, when all said and done, when they break down these electric and no-emission vehicle cars, they burn about as much carbon in the production and in the operation as a regular standard car does in its lifetime. So, yeah, it's just, it feel good, slightly diminished returns. I don't know. And they're also forcing people to do it, which seems a little bit kind of, I don't know, I don't know. It doesn't entirely sit right with me. I mean, eventually going to have to go to it, but whatever. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference as far as carbon output goes.
Take that, Prius people.
I know. Shoot. Actually, I was trying to think. He said in the production of it, I don't know, and which is, I understand, but in the actual lifetime of the car, just using electricity, what little bit of coal or whatever fuels on the back end take to make that electricity, does that actually equal out? I don't think so. I have trouble believing that it would.
Someone would have to do a carbon footprint experiment or study to tell you which is greater, which is less. I get that it's not a zero-sum game. You're not going to get free electricity unless you go to solar, hydro, nuclear, something like that. But again, it still takes time or energy. So it takes energy and leaves a carbon footprint to manufacture that vehicle today. I know there are a number of manufacturers that are going to more green solutions, but we're not at a totally green solution yet today. I mean, if you really want the green solution, you pedal your bike.
Yeah. Now, when we get the Tesseract and we start extracting some energy from it and, you know, making cars, and then that'd be green.
Keep dreaming. We also have an email from Jack regarding downloads. This is a discussion that's been ongoing about unlimited data caps on your mobile plan and how we can do that. He says, downloading for this month, I've reached an all new high as far as numbers of gigabytes downloaded. Most of the time, mostly this is me downloading, updating my new Xbox One. Ooh, apparently the updates are sizable on that thing.
Yeah, I know. I saw
the picture. Didn't mean to hit that yet.
I know. I saw the picture he posted of his the screen on his device, and I was like, "You got to be kidding! I cannot believe he had that much." You know, it was like 255 gigabytes.
Yeah. That's his monthly usage.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
how often does this Xbox One update? Or is it the games on there? Sort of like if I leave my phone in, I don't use auto update mode on my app. So about once a month, I come back and it says, you've got 65 applications to update. And I go, great. We'll do that over Wi-Fi when I'm at home.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just, it just blew me away. Now, I remember when, of course, time is different, but back in the day when I first bought an iPad, I had the cellular model.
Yeah.
And I paid like, $20 for 2 gigs in a month. Mm-hmm. And I got towards the end of the month. I was like, wow, I'm not quite used to it. So I started doing things to see if I could run it up. And that was just to get to 2 gigs, not 250, whatever that. Actually, you know what? We should coin that as the Jaffe scale.
The
bandwidth scale. The Jaffe bandwidth scale.
It's like logarithmic. It just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, much like Jack.
All right. That takes care of our feedback. If you want to get in touch with us, contact us on the listener line, 707-530-CHAT. 707-530-2428 is the number you want to call to leave a message like Jack. We love hearing from our dear listeners. You can also send us email, technorama@chuckchat.com, and we will get back to you as well. You can also post it to the comments on this particular episode of the show. Craig, how many viewers do we have at the moment?
It says 5. I've seen as many as 8.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Hopefully we're getting our older listeners converted over from YouTube. Including our listeners, Dave.
Dave.
Let's do the history thing, shall we?
Okay. All right. Let's give it a shot.
We don't have to roll the d20 to see who goes first, because I always go first. What?
Oh, wait.
No. It's normally when there are guests in the studio that we do that. It's on this day in history for November 2nd, 2016. This is the 306th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 59 days remaining in 2016. Please remember that this does get released on Wednesday, so if you're doing the math, you're saying, no, Chuck, it's only Sunday the 30th. No, this is releasing on November 2nd, so you people watching it live on Facebook are the privileged few. It was on this date in 1868 that New Zealand officially adopts a standard time to be observed nationally.
And that same date in 1936, the British Broadcasting Company initiates the BBC television service, the world's first regular, include, high definition.
Ooh, high definition. How many lines was that back then?
Well, back then, it was defined at least 200 lines, which we blow that away on my laptop. It was renamed the BBC One in 1964. The channel still runs to this day. I'm sure it's a little more than 200 lines.
Hey, I don't think my Apple II had 200 lines of resolution in high-res mode.
I don't think my first program was 200 lines.
It was on this date in 1936 that the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation is established.
And November 2nd, 1947, in California, designer Howard Hughes performs the maiden and only flight of the Spruce Goose, or the H-4, the Hercules, probably like 6 other names for it, the largest fixed-wing aircraft ever built.
57 years ago today, the first section of the M1 motorway, the first interurban motorway in the United Kingdom, is opened between the present junctions 5 and 18, along with the M10 motorway and M45 motorway.
And also in 1960 on this date, Penguin Books is found not guilty of obscenity in the trial. Whoa, I didn't expect that. In the trial of R versus Penguin Books Limited, the Lady Chatterley's love case. Lover case.
Lady Chatterley's lover. Scandalous.
I'm kidding.
It was 28 years ago today that the Morris worm. I thought that said T. Morris at first.
I know. I was going to say the same thing.
Especially after coming off of a publisher thing. The Morris worm, the first internet distributed computer worm to gain significant mainstream media attention, is launched from MIT.
All right. And 26 years ago today, British, wow, they're really in here today. British Satellite Broadcasting and Sky Television PLC merge to form PSKB as a result of massive losses.
That was 26 years ago? Wow.
I guess so. Yeah.
Time flies. Happy birthday goes out of this date to American hunter and explorer Daniel Boone, born on this date in 1734.
And born in 1815, English mathematician and philosopher George Boole.
Do you know what he's known for?
The Boolean?
Yes. Boolean algebra, among other things. He was a mathematician. Yeah. He could only count to 2, I guess.
That's why there's a couple of letters missing off his last name.
And we sign off our show with 101. Maybe we should honor that to George Boole. Yeah. American astronomer and academic, slow down, Charles, Harlow Shapley, born on this date in 1885. Isn't there a feature on Mars named after Shapley?
There may be.
I have to look. Familiar. I know there's Keep going. I'll think of it later.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about it later. So, born November 2nd, also on 1913. I don't know why I threw also in there, but American actor Burt Lancaster.
Ooh. American actor Ray Walston was born on this date in 1914.
And also turning 87 today is Canadian physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Richard E. Taylor.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for November 2nd, 2016. Again, this was all put together. Those sentences were actually pretty good by a computer.
Yes. There were no deaths. There were no deaths here.
Well, we leave the deaths out on purpose. Listener birthdays. We're going to go through and catch up on our listener birthdays because we haven't done a podcast in a few weeks. October 19th, Russell Pearson, a.k.a. Nine Reads. Happy birthday on October 20th from Mike near Des Moines, Iowa. Deb Drop on the 21st, along with our good friend Justin Deal, whom we see at Dragon Con almost every year. Missed you this year, buddy. October 22nd is Zach Mad Marv, spelled K-Y-L-E, but it's pronounced Marv, so hope that helps. Right. He and four other people are on October 25th, including Human Shield, Britt on Tour, and Scott from Minneapolis. Dylan Licata from San Antonio is born on the 28th. Big Jim from Megapodzilla on the 29th. Boy, when we make a call out to our listeners to get the birthday calendar going, they really jump in, because there are weeks when we have one or two birthdays. So
yeah, and somebody's always born. You know somebody.
Right. Born. Come on, listeners. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, we'll tell you as soon as we're done with these. Yes. Wolf Geek from Indiana is born, well, as we record this, October 30th. And then we get into November, because we usually do the week ahead. So November 1st is Amber Elstad, Mark McCoy on the 2nd. On the 3rd, we have a couple of birthdays, Ken Pace and Ranger Craig Glasner. He used to be the ranger on Alcatraz, but he is still in the National Park Service. Very dear and longtime listener to the show. Avner, OMG, he gets a shout out later. It says, OMG, it's 2014. I'm 40 already.
Surprise, you're 42.
Yeah, surprise. Happy birthday to you on the 4th. On the 5th, Michael Corlett, New Zealand. Mark, the Encaffeinated One from The Weird Show, is on the 8th. And also on the 8th is On the Drift. That's all the birthdays we are.
Hey, listen,
we
have. Listen.
The band is marching away.
Right in time.
If you want to get on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki. And put your name on the birthday. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. We would love to hear from you and celebrate you as a unique individual. It is time for us to take a quick break. So we're going to take a quick break. Be right back with our count them four beautiful, strange stories. We'll be right back.
All right.
Love y'all.
Greetings from TG Geeks Webcast, where
Ben
and Keith, the two gay geeks, talk about all aspects of geekdom and nerdery. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror, genre, you name it, we talk about it.
Find our episodes each week on tggeeks.com.
Visit our Facebook page, TG Geeks Webcast.
On Google Plus and YouTube, look for us as Two Gay Geeks. You can tweet at TG Geeks and at the Two Gay Geeks.
Or call our feedback line at 469-TG-GEEKS. That is 469-844-3357. Happy listening. Peace.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Jonathan Latt, author of the pulp novel The Geek, and when I'm not busy coming up with ways to kill people in my books, I'm busy coming up with ways to kill Chuck and Craig. And you're listening to these two future dead people on Technorama.
Well, aren't we all future dead people?
I was going to say the same thing. At some point, we will be.
I know I'm going to be. Maybe we can live forever.
Sooner. Yeah. Hopefully later than sooner.
Hopefully. Well, yeah. And maybe we'll live forever. Like,
Riker?
No, he plans to live forever. He didn't actually say he was. And
well, he did Adam have Savage, a twin, so.
Adam Savage had that special about he's going to be implanted into a robot body at some point, too.
Right.
All right, our first story on the news. Oh, I forgot the news thing. Hold on, I got that right here.
I love the story, by the way.
Good news, anyone?
Who likes good news?
I like this story. It's kind of funny.
This is about a Spanish junkyard owner who replaces guard dogs with bullfighting bulls. Hope you are a matador.
The war has been escalated.
After falling victim to no less than 7 break-ins last summer, the owner of a secondhand auto parts business in Montserrat, Spain, has replaced his guard dogs with a pair of Toro Bravos, a Spanish breed of bull used in bullfighting, to roam the property and deter potential intruders. Emilio Cervero told Spanish reporters, in Spanish no less, that his troubles began earlier this year when local authorities in Valencian town of Montserrat built new roundabout next to his junkyard. We apparently have the broken English in here too. He was expropriated. He was expropriated of part of his property, and the provincial government sealed off his downsized land with a flimsy wire fence to replace the original concrete wall, which featured barbed wire protection. Since then, he claims thieves have broken in 7 times by snipping a hole in the wall, luring the guard dogs out of the compound, and simply walking in to take what they needed. Senor Cervero claims that the financial cost of the break-ins wasn't considerable, but it turns out that most of the thieves were young people looking to steal a rearview mirror or a tire for their cars. But the frequency in which intrusions occurred had become an inconvenience. The fence had to be fixed every time, not to mention that the alarms were set off, bothering his neighbors. Okay, who lives next to a junkyard? And doesn't expect to be bothered at some point.
Not me.
And since guard dogs were proving ineffective, he decided it was time for something more extreme. After asking permission to build a tougher wall and in the problematic section of his junkyard, he was told that he was free to do so. And as long as the new fence was located at least 25 meters from the new boundary fence, as property had already been downsized, Cervero couldn't afford to lose any more space, so he came up with an interesting alternative, replacing guard dogs with a couple of fighting bulls.
I swear. It's brilliant, actually.
I think it's terrific if you can afford to feed them. They eat a little more than dogs.
Now the thieves just break in to do a little bull tipping.
Now the two bulls constantly roam the premises, and Cervero says he's interested to see if the thieves will be willing to risk a confrontation with the bulls for cheap secondhand hubcap or a worn tire. Quote, the bulls can roam around freely in the yard, and let's hope they do their job, he told Spanish television news La Sexta. All I am trying to do is protect my property. One thing for sure, if anyone decided the junkyard is worth breaking into, they'll get a lot more than they bargained for. None of it particularly pleasant.
Hey, you know what this reminds me of? That children's story where you get the to get rid of the rat, and then you bring in the cat, and to get rid of the cat, you bring in the...
I know an old lady who swallowed a spider that wiggled and wiggled into the insider. She swallowed a fly.
I started to say give a pig a pancake, but that's not the same kind of thing.
No. Or moose a muffin. Yep. Different. Yeah, this one has joke written all over it because, you know, you put the sign in the junkyard that says...
No bull?
You don't have to run. What is it? You don't have to run faster than the bull. You just have to run faster than your friend.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's all kinds of things in there. So, yeah, welcome, first time viewer or listener. This is what you get out of Technorama. Wow, the work address almost slipped out.
Yeah, that's right.
How did that almost happen? And then we go from the news into, yes, if that wasn't strange enough, we have hacks and strange stories. This is where people hack things together, make interesting stuff. That's a really small guy or a really big arcade game.
It looks like a little kid trying to buy.
If you feel there's something missing in the entryway of your McMansion with its towering ceiling, the world's largest arcade cabinet might be exactly what you're looking for. But if it ends up seeming out of place, that's too bad because it's 14.4 feet tall. And there are a few other rooms in your house in which this monstrosity will fit. Originally created by Jason Camberis, the towering arcade cabinet is officially the world's tallest, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. And now you can own one, thanks to Hammaker Schlemmer.
Wow.
With an 80-inch screen. An 80-inch screen. That's bigger than anything I've got in my house right now.
Hey, look at the size of the quarter slot.
A massive... Those are big quarters.
Yeah.
16-inch trackball, 8 buttons, and 2 joysticks. Players can attempt to enjoy over 250 classic arcade titles served up by a full-blown Windows PC hidden away inside. It's thankfully powered by a standard AC outlet not the beefy plugs your appliances run on. But it's not all good news. The price tag of $99,000 US. You'll be dismayed to learn that machine coin slots don't actually work, meaning there's no chance of this thing ever being paid off.
Yeah, and they don't mention it, but I think it takes a 220 circuit instead of...
No. It says it's a standard AC outlet, not the beefy ones that your appliances take. The thing
Thank
I
you
don't
for
understand
for
is...
raining on my joke, Chuck. Thanks.
Well, how are you supposed to play this when the one button is over here 5 feet to the left of the joystick over there, and you're...
Well, it adds a new challenge, opportunity.
I'd get up on top of that thing and start doing it like Dance Dance Revolution and stomping on the buttons.
Stomp on the buttons.
It's an 80-inch screen. What are you going to miss?
I don't know. That's pretty. It is pretty amazing.
That's a big piece of hardware, but I got better ways to spend $99,000.
No. I'm not doing that. Yeah. Let me cash in on some accounts. And now I'm looking at my room. I'm like, I don't even know if it'd fit in here.
No. My biggest vaulted ceiling is 11 feet high. It would have to go outside.
I'm not sure what. Yeah. Garage.
14 feet is a big room. I grew up in an old Victorian home, and the highest ceilings in there were about 11 and a half, 12 feet. And those seemed really high. We got some big Christmas trees. All right. Do you want to read this one about the canned air? This is not
aging air.
This is not the stuff you find in Spaceballs, where President Scroob is drinking the Perrier.
Where he goes, he's like,
right.
Yeah.
No, you would not want to do that with this. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Many Beijing residents go to great lengths to avoid breathing the city's smoggy air, especially when it reaches critical pollution levels. But one entrepreneur decided that canning and selling the poor quality air as souvenir would be a great idea.
Great idea.
Yeah, thanks. Believe it or not, he was right. So after seeing a number of companies achieve commercial success by canning fresh air from countries like France, Canada, Australia, why is America not listed in there? I don't know. And selling it to China, Dominic Johnson Hill, a British-born citizen of Beijing and owner of the Plastered 8 souvenir shop, I saw where that was coming in, decided to turn the idea on its head and sell the canned Beijing air throughout China and abroad. I had been seeing people going crazy. I like the crazy people part. I was getting ready to say. I've been seeing people going crazy to buy canned air from Canada and Australia, so I thought it was time to push the business the other way, the entrepreneur said. They're perfect gifts. And what else are you going to take home when you go home from Beijing? A roasted duck, a plastered T-shirt.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, all I got was this can of air. I was thinking was T-shirts.
I think they sell them in six packs, but I don't know how much they are.
So these cans are light, portable, and can't imagine someone's face when they unwrap it for Christmas.
You can't imagine it?
Okay.
Wait for it. I can.
Oh boy. Yeah, thanks. That was it. That's what we needed. Oh, it says it's actually about $4 US for a can. Wow. They're available in his shop. Imagine that. I don't know. Can you really smell? How would that work? You open a can of Canadian air or any this air.
Scott Tyler's asking, are they less filling or taste great? I don't think they're either.
Probably a little less filling.
Probably give you cancer.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how do you smell? How do you consume it? You know,
open it up and
put a mask.
Take a whiff.
Put a mask on it. Put a mask on it. You know, so you can like.
Yeah, you could put on a gas mask and plug those into the canister. Are you my mummy?
Right. I don't know.
All righty. Hey, we do this show live every week, so we're gonna be here again on Facebook Live. Apparently this is working. I see comments coming back and forth.
Whether you like it or not, we're coming back.
That's like when the movie theater says, coming to a theater near you. And I always say, and there's nothing you can do about it.
No. Yeah.
So you can join us here on Facebook, or if you forget, you can go to our website, chuckchat.com/technorama, click on the webcam link, and it's going to redirect you here anyway. We are trying to consolidate and be a little more advanced as we go through this. So want to give a shout out to everybody who's joined us. Hey, look, we're up to 7. We got lots of what, sad faces. Whoa. Going by.
What was that? What? Give me a ghost.
Hey, Gary, a ghost. Can we do the ghost?
Yeah, there's a, that's a, well, wow.
I'm going to give us a thumbs up there. Oh, Technorama just liked its own page. I guess I'm not logged in as me.
There you go. I got a lone ghost just floating off the video. There you go.
Now we got med faces. You ask and you shall receive. Bam, 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 bam. Hi, Gary. Good to see you. Our good friend Gary Lindros, whom we also see at Dragon Con all the time. Yeah. All right, into our last segment, if we will. Where's my... There it is.
Where is it at? There you go.
The Remember When music. Well, the music is a lot happier than this actual article is. So, now you can drink from a cup made with the ashes of your loved ones. Yes, that's right. New Mexico-based artist Justin Crow first incorporated cremated human ashes into the dinnerware set last year as part of an art project. But after his friends learned about it and asked him to create bespoke items for them... How many spokes are on a bespoke? Is that two?
Yeah, about four.
Or is that a bispoke?
Yeah, okay. Bespoke.
After they asked him, he decided to turn the idea into a business. Today, his company, Chronicle Cremation Design, offers people the chance to keep their loved ones close by having their ashes incorporated into everyday items like coffee cups, bowls, or candle holders.
Gives a whole new
meaning to Grandma's china set, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it?
Or bone china. Ooh. I wanted to create a dinnerware set that infuses a sense of mortality into everyday life, Crow says about his original idea of mixing human ashes into tableware. In 2015, he purchased 200 human bones from a bone dealer. Wow. Okay, so they're not specific bones. Crush them into a fine powder. That's dangerous stuff. You have to be careful with bone dust.
Yeah.
And mix them into a coating glaze. Oh, so they're just in the glaze. I thought they were in the... clay or whatever they make.
It may be in just the glaze. That way, okay. If you drop it and break it or something, I don't know.
He made a set of functional plates, cups, and bowls. He ended up using them for an unconventional dinner party with the guests eating off of repurposed human remains. This just worries me because I had a mug one time that came from Mexico, and they said, "Hey, you got to be careful because things from Mexico, they're not as refined." I forgot if it was in the glaze or the clay. But it could leach lead into your food or drink. So I stopped using that mug. It was a nice big mug, too. I like that thing. Kept things warm for a long time. Interesting, while searching for human bones for his art project, Crow put an ad on Craigslist asking for about 2 cups of ashes for $35. He got 3 responses on the first day, one of which was from a woman who threatened to have him investigated.
Yeah. That's one response. That's not the response I was looking for. Sorry.
She quoted the Bible telling him he's going to hell. It was really polarizing idea, the artist admits.
No, that's not hell. It's just the kiln.
Oh, doubly right. Cremated. Although Nourish was designed as a one-time project after his friends started asking him if he could do bespoke orders for them. There's that word again. Integrating their loved ones' ashes into various pottery items. Harry Pottery? Oh, that's a better term. Harry Potter and the cup of soup. He realized that it was a very special cremation option and soon founded Chronicle Cremation Designs. People asked, if I gave you my father's ashes, could you make a coffee cup, urn, or bowl? Well, that seems a bit meta, doesn't it? Using ashes to make an urn.
Yeah.
Huh.
So already in there.
This business came out of that art project. Justin told The Guardian, integrating someone's ashes into ceramics is a way of infusing their memory into everyday life. So you can have coffee every morning with the memories of your grandma. Grandma tastes great.
No, it's just not enough. I couldn't do it. I don't think I'd want it.
I'm debating this. I'm not one way or the other. I think it's an interesting curiosity. I think it's a neat way to... keep their memory around. Why put somebody in the ground and let them turn into worm food when...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know how to get a elicit a response from Donna. I wonder if you would do that with her bones.
Would she let me do that with her bones? For those that don't know, my lovely wife is our video engineer, flipping between the cameras and whatnot.
I know. I always try to think of a way to get her to speak on the show. That's why.
She laughs a lot back there, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
Because after 28 years, if she's still laughing, I'm still in good shape.
That's right. That's right.
We're not going anywhere. I want to give a thank you. I think that rounds out our stories on that weird one. But a thank you to our patrons. We do have special patron music. This is for our patron people who... Oh, yeah. We got some cool music for the patrons. These are the people who joined us on Patreon.com at Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. And... pledge to donate for every show, and in return, even for the minimum donation of $1 per show, this is only paying us when we produce. So the last 2 weeks, we didn't get anything because we didn't produce anything. So yeah. It's only incumbent on you to pay when we produce. And what we give you in return is not this show. We have a special, we call it the parody show, P-A-R-I-T-Y. Get it? Parody. And that is our thank you for them. And it's usually a topic that can range anywhere from a TV character to an article we saw in the newspaper, if anybody still reads newspapers. And we want to thank all these people. Some of them have been giving since we started earlier in 2016. Kyle Nishioka, that's Mad Marv. Happy birthday to him before. Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grant Pachoco, who was on when we first started broadcasting. Don't know if he's still there, but thank you very much. For that, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, Nick St. Gabriel, Amy Bowen, and we have a convert who changed over from the PayPal donation, which we've been running for years and years and years, and Avner Braverman has been one of those people who has been with us for years and years. We even signed his microphone at a convention years ago.
Yes, true.
Now he is a patron. Thank you very much. And Leon, and if I remember right, this is the Leon that we saw in Atlanta. He has been listening
very
long. If I'm incorrect about that, Leon, please let me know. It was just signed Leon. So as far as I'm concerned, there's only one Leon. It's like there's only one Prince.
You're right.
Or Cher. Okay? Or Bono. It's Leon. Dang. Leon is our... We're on a first name listener basis with Leon. Thank you very much to these people. Again, patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. We'd love to get you on this list and get you that special content that's only available to our patrons. So that, I believe, is going to round out the show. How are we doing? Well, not too bad. A little shorter than usual. We only had 4 stories in here. Sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 8.
I can dig something else up, I'm sure.
We also have... let me stop that music. We also,
hey, by the way.
Yes.
By the way, just to talk about this for a second, mm-hmm. I'll link the video in the show notes. But Harrison and I saw this cool video. It was like what happens when Mario dies. And
when he gets bitten by something and falls off the screen?
Well, it wasn't bitten, but just falling through like one of the holes in the in the walkway. And he as he jumps, you see the little Mario, he falls, and then all of a sudden it turns into a guy and he's falling from the sky. He lands and he kind of starts opening his eyes and he looks around. There's like 20 Marios dead around him.
Oh,
but he's like a real person at that point. And then everything's kind of morphed. All the little creatures are stuck together. And, Luigi's like a zombie. It was really cool to watch. So I'll link it in the show notes. And, I thought everybody would probably enjoy that. I meant to put it in there so we could talk about it, but anyway, it was cool.
Alrighty. Well, you still put it in the show notes.
I will.
We talked about it. Put it right there in the Geek Library. I think that's a good place for it. We do have various articles and various segments that we rotate around. And when we're lucky, we get some guests in the studio that we'd love to share with you if they show up. This just didn't happen to be one of those weeks. Everybody's busy moving or doing their own show or whatever it is. This might be political. Ooh, see, there's our room shot. For those of you watching live, it's kind of empty in here and kind of blown out. I thought I had that video fixed yesterday.
What? It's blown out? Around. Oh,
the,
wow.
The sure video. Is. Yeah, the video on the room camera. But
yeah,
that's okay.
Because there's nobody else there.
I'm so bright.
Right. Trying to compensate.
All right. We have a question for you this week, dear listener. We'd love to hear from you. And you can reply to us on the listener line or email. If you could attend one and only one concert, be it a performer or a group, at any point in time. This could be from the 1600s, or it could be from the 1960s, or it could be from last week. What performer or group would you like to go see? Which would it be? I'm curious, because it's so hard to pick on some of these things. You go, wow, I'd like to see Jefferson Airplane. Or
I'd like to see Mozart last Tuesday. How about that? It was convenient for me.
Yeah, I had the day, had the afternoon off, thought I wasn't doing anything else. Why not?
Yeah, yeah, it'll work.
All righty. That's our question for
actually,
you. Yeah.
Hey, actually, just to discuss it for a moment, I think that it would be cool to see somebody like Mozart or somebody more when they were performing in their heyday, you know, in that environment and like, you know, sitting around watching him perform. I think it'd be awesome.
Michelle asks, is that where Mike used to record? Yes, this is the former Draco Vista Studios.
Hey, Mike's not a musical performer, by the way.
He is a musical performer. You never saw the studio when he had all his guitars and whatnot around here?
I know.
Yeah.
Man, you're not working with me on the humor here.
It's because it's not funny.
Well, that's why I need the help.
Hold up a sign that says, this is where the joke is, and I might get it.
Yeah, I'm going to emphasize his laughter. You know,
get your own soundboard.
Yeah.
Or I get to thanks. Use this.
Yeah. Thanks.
So thank you to those who've joined us on the live Facebook feed thing. This is the first time we've done this again, and I call it a fair success. We had a good crowd joining, people going in and out, and you now know what Technorama is all about if you've never seen us before. So on that note, we are going to round this out, give you a phone number once again, 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Make this a regular part of your weekly schedule. If you don't want to catch it live on Facebook, you can always join us on getting it from the podcast feed. Just look for Technorama Podcast or Technorama on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you catch your podcast. That's fine with us. We are not preferential or judgmental either way. We just want
to
listen.
Not in public, at least.
Have some fun.
Yeah, we're not.
It almost sounded like you didn't want them to listen to us in public.
Yeah, that's right.
707-530-CHAT. We'd love to hear you. Email technorama@chuckchat.com or leave us a Facebook comment. Until next time, we appreciate you joining us. We look forward to seeing you again. Next time, bring a friend. Tell a friend about Technorama. And Craig, would you do the honors as always? Give us a binary high five.
Here's to you, George Bull. 101. Wait, that was the Vulcan high five. Sorry.
Vulcan high five. Good night, all. Thanks.
Bye, y'all.